Mr. Santamaro, please go ahead.
Thank you, Chief Justice. Petitioner's attorney spoke a lot about legislative intent in the morning session, but I don't think we need to get into that because that's completely speculative. I think we can look at the plain language of the statute here and the law established by this court in other cases to come to the correct conclusion as the lower courts did. Our Workers' Compensation Act provides that an employer must compensate an employee for accidental injuries arising out of and in the course of employment. However, the statute excludes injuries sustained while the employee is engaged in a recreational or social activity unless the employee can prove two things. One, that the activity is a regular incident of employment, and two, that the activity produces a benefit to the employer beyond improvement in employee health and morale. Now, it's important to remember that the petitioner must prove both of these things, not just one. It's a two-part test. So if the petitioner can't prove the first prong of the test, we don't even need to get into the second part of the test. Now, this court has addressed recreational or social activities in the past.
Counsel, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Do you even get to the test if Mrs. Goulding or Miss Goulding was not a beneficiary of the recreation or social activity? If that is a sine qua non, that she actually be the targeted beneficiary of the social or recreational activity, do we need to go any further?
I think we do, because the statute doesn't say anything about who's the beneficiary of the recreational or social activity. All it says is whether or not the employee is engaged in the recreational or social activity.
So let me ask you a question. Okay. Assume that an employee for Friendship House had to construct a tent over the parking lot so all these fun activities could occur, volunteered for the job, and while constructing the tent, a beam disconnects, falls, and cracks the employee on the head, causing serious injuries. Is it your position that the employee was involved in a recreation or social activity?
Well,
in that instance?
Yeah, it depends on when the employee would have constructed this tent. Would it have been?
It's on the Saturday of the activity.
I would argue.
Setting up, just like Miss Goulding, an hour before, setting up the grills, getting the hamburgers and the hot dogs ready. Same thing.
Right. I would argue, yes, it still applies in this case. And what it hinges on is the fact that the employee volunteered to do so. This court has addressed this issue in a number of cases, specifically Sarzillo versus Turner Construction Company and Lozano versus DeLuca Construction. And in those two cases, what this court has said is whether or not something's a regular incident of employment hinges on compulsion by the employer. If the employer is not compelling or requiring participation in the event or activity, then it's not a regular incident of employment. In this case, and in the hypothetical you just gave, the employee would have freely chosen to volunteer to do that activity.
But in the case that you referred to, and in fact in all of the reported cases, the plaintiffs were actually involved in social recreational activities, as my colleagues have pointed out, playing paddleball, softball, getting in a go-kart. I mean, those are the cases. This is a case where the plaintiff is doing the regular incidents of her job during the work week. She's just doing it as a volunteer on a Saturday. She's cooking. She's providing for the clientele of Friendship House. Isn't that a distinction?
No, Your Honor, and I would say that saying that the petitioner was doing her normal job, that's an oversimplification of what her job duties were here. She not only cooked for the members of Friendship House, she also provided vocational training. She taught a class teaching them how to cook certain meals, how to prepare food. None of that occurred on this day. There was no vocational training. There was no teaching the members or clients how to cook. It was simply just a day of fun activities for the members She didn't have to cook. She chose to run the barbecue that day, to run the grill and grill hot dogs. She could have done anything. She could have given out prizes. She could have run the games. She chose herself to cook, and this is, goes back to compulsion on the part of the employer. In this case, she wasn't required to be there at all. In fact, a number of other employees did not participate. They chose not to show up that day.
Where does compulsion find its root in the statutory language that you focused our attention on earlier?
Sure.
I don't see that. I see regular incident of employment and benefit to the employer beyond improvement in employee health or morale. Well, so we use that language when we were talking about compulsion to get on a go-kart, which has nothing to do with employment, or to play on a work-sponsored baseball team so that the name of the company would be emblazoned on the front for some reason that enhanced it. I mean, I don't see it in the language of the legislature.
Right, but we have to look to the case law there. So the Zarzillo cases and Lozano cases both analyzed the term regular incident of employment. And this court said in both of those cases it relates to compulsion by the employer. And in this case, the employer
in certain facts, in certain facts where it was necessary to look to something like that, one could say. It's not, again, rooted in the language itself. It was an interpretive tool that we used in those cases to understand the factual setting in which the employee was placed.
Well, I would also say this. I mean, even if the court were to assume that the petitioner was not engaged in a recreational or social activity, which I don't agree with, but even if they were to assume that, she still volunteered her time on that day. Family Fun Day was held on a Saturday. She worked Monday through Friday. It wasn't a regular day that she worked. She didn't have to do her normal job duties. She chose to cook. And as I said, her actual normal job duties required
more. Does it make a difference? Because employees volunteer all the time to further the goals of a business. They may work overtime when they don't have to without money to get their work done. Are you suggesting that an employee who works like overtime without pay, carrying out the ordinary incidents of that employee's work duties, would not be entitled to workers' comp if he or she were injured?
Well, that's a different set of facts to this case, but our statute does exclude volunteers who do not get paid from compensation, except for a few exceptions which are outlined in the statute, such as volunteer firefighters and elected and appointed officials, but only when they're conducting their official duties. I would argue if an employee volunteers their time on a day they're not required to work, even though they are an employee of the company normally, on that day they're simply an unpaid volunteer that's not entitled to compensation.
Okay, so a lawyer who's not required to go in on a Saturday to work goes in and the ceiling collapses on him. Entitled to workers' comp?
It's different because most lawyers are salaried employees. There's a different standard that applies to hourly employees versus salaried employees.
Okay, so take a lawyer out, okay?
Okay, so let's take a deputy
some
attorney general.
I would argue if the employee came in voluntarily, they are not entitled to compensation because they're volunteering that day. But these are separate facts than this case. In this case, and let's not lose sight of the fact what we're dealing with, it sounds like a carnival. It was a day of fun activities. She chose to volunteer for it. As petitioner's attorney stated earlier, she admits she knew she wasn't going to get paid. She knew she didn't have to go. Other employees decided they weren't going to go because they weren't getting paid. Nothing happened to them at work, no employment repercussions. In fact, even her supervisor signed up to volunteer, but then just didn't show up on the day of because she had a conflict with her daughter's soccer game. No employment repercussions for her. So there was no compulsion for the petitioner to participate in this event. And once again, I don't think it makes a difference whether or not she was benefiting from the activities, although it sounds like she was, because as petitioner's attorney said, she did enjoy herself at Family Fun Day, as I think anybody who volunteered would have enjoyed themselves. So in this case, we are in fact dealing with a recreational social activity. Now, what she was doing at that social activity is a different story, but I don't think it matters in terms of the law here.
But does it make a difference that this is social remedial legislation intended to provide compensation for workers? Should we be looking at this issue through that prism?
I think that should always be in the back of our minds, but I think if the law is clear enough, we don't have to get there. And I think in this case, the law is clear enough. You know, and going back to legislative intent just for a second, the legislature decided to remove these recreational or social activity injuries from compensability. That didn't used to be in the statute. They amended it to exclude those injuries from compensability. And I think the reason they did so, it's for situations like this, where someone volunteers.
You really think that they had Mrs. Gould in mind? Or did they have the people who were going out during lunch and playing paddleball and tennis and softball getting themselves injured?
I don't know.
Don't you think that those are the people who they really had in mind, not Mrs. Gould?
I don't think they had Mrs. Gould necessarily specifically in mind. But I think cases like this, where there is a carnival or a picnic, and an employee is not compelled to participate, the employer doesn't say, hey, you have to attend or there's going to be some consequences, or even imply that. That didn't happen here. She said herself she chose to volunteer because she wanted to give back to the members of Friendship House. She loved them and wanted to do something fun for them, which is commendable, but I don't think it makes it compensable based on the law.
Just to clarify,
even though it's remedial compensation, counsel, even though it's remedial compensation, can we agree that one of the purposes in 1979 was enacted was to contain the overall cost of workers' compensation, and leave more monies available for poor employees who were seriously injured at work?
That's so exactly right.
Wasn't that part of legislative? Although they, at the time we all conceded, and they did, that it was remedial legislation, they still felt that it needed to enact this to contain the cost and to protect employers who are seriously injured at work, have more money available for them.
That's mm-hmm. exactly
so we can't just look at it as remedial compensation, so anything goes.
Right. Yeah, I think we can. It's a slippery slope, right? As you said.
Before you go down that slippery slope, you derive the notion of compulsion from the first part of the test, regular incident of employment. Correct. Is that right?
That's correct.
Depending upon how that term is interpreted, we may or may not get to the end result. You're suggesting it's been interpreted one way in the cases we've decided before, but that interpretation is what guides the outcome here. That's what you're saying.
Well, that guides the outcome of the first part of the test.
So right. Well, the second part of the test is not clear in a case like this, where she's doing an activity that is for the benefit of the clients and clearly the benefit of Friendship House, you may not succeed on that part.
Well, I what I'll say about the second argument just briefly is the court has looked at the second part of the test and related it to whether or not there was a fundraising activity or marketing purpose involved. I understand.
But that's not exclusive. That's not an exclusive analysis. And this
right.
is a case where she's doing work at a function that benefited clients and clearly was for the benefit of Friendship House in many different respects.
I understand. The analysis is different. I agree with petitioner's attorney on this. The analysis is different for a for-profit and non-profit entity. However, The workers' compensation judge took testimony here, and the employer testified they do run fundraisers throughout the year, but this wasn't one of them. And he denied that the goal of Family Fun Day was to increase their social standing in the community or enhance their public image in some way. He said that the goal was just to have some fun for the members and their family. The judge heard his testimony. She found him credible in that regard. And she was the only one that could assess credibility there. So I while I don't think we need to get to the second prong, I think the first prong is dispositive here because there's no compulsion, so it's not a regular incident of employment. I do think the second prong fails as well.
I got you.
So, other questions? Go ahead, counsel.
Yeah, so, I mean, in this case, like I said, I don't think we need to get to the second prong. There was no compulsion on the part of the employer. The petitioner knew full well she wasn't going to get paid to participate. She didn't have to participate. There were other employees who chose not to participate. She chose to do so, which is commendable, but since there was no compulsion here, I don't see how we get past the first prong of the test. And I think the lower courts came to the correct conclusion that this was not a compensable accident because it didn't arise out of and in the course of the petitioner's employment.
Other questions, anyone? Thank you, and thank you to both counsel. We'll take the matter under advisement.